We're here on Daf Pei Dalet Omer Aleph. But before we start, let's just review the terminology, I guess you'd call it in fancy English, nomenclature here, because that's very important for us. And we're going to have three categories. Now, all these different terms are meant to reflect the halachic issue of two rishuyos. Like, for example, you have an aliyah or a mirpeses, and then you have a chatzer on the bottom. And in addition to these two chatzeros, into these two rishuyos, you have a third area, like a tel or a sela. And we're not sure which of these two chatzeros have access to this third rishus, this third area. In other words, to whom does this tail belong? Does it belong to the Bnei Aliyah? Does it belong to the Bnei Achotzer? And it all depends upon which group has what we call Tashmish Kal V'Noach, which has an easier access and benefit and use of that third area. And there are three levels. You can talk about absolute noach, you know, it's very easy to use that area. You can talk about the opposite extreme, which it's very high and I can't reach it. It's kasha. And then you can have an area which it's kasha, not because it's so high, but on the contrary, because it's so low and it's subterranean. It's too low for me. Now, here are the three terms that we have to know. In a case where it's Tashmish Kal V'Noach, it's very easy to use it, that's called, in the language of the Gemara, a Pesach. Just like a Pesach means it's an easy way of entering and exiting, so too the word Pesach in this context means if I'm up on the second floor, for example, and I have a tail that rises up on the ground, it's easy for me to get access to that tail. Now, if the Tashmish is more difficult, more challenging, then there are two other terms, depending upon whether it's too difficult because it's too high or because it's too low. If it's too difficult because it's too high, that's called zrika. In other words, I'd have to throw it on top of that object in order to get it there. If, on the other hand, it's too low, that's called shilshul. Okay. So the Gemara on Daf Pei Gimel and Beis, if you call, had established that if you have a Pesach Lazeh or a Pesach Lazeh, or a Chalon Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, then in that case they could set up an Erev together, and they have another option of each Chatzer could set up its own individual Erev. So those are the two options. Now, in a case where this third area is lazeh bezrika belazeh bezrika, that both can both have the same challenge because you're talking about an area that's higher, then that's going to be the din of kosel shebein shtei chatzeros. And we learned about a kosel sheyesh bein shtei chatzeros. If it has the height of 10 tefachim, then you aren't allowed to take from the kosel down to the chatzer. If, let's say, there were peros, and you want to bring them down from the kosel. In other words, since the use of this area, of this kosel, is considered kosher, it's difficult for both chatzeros. That's called zrika. Zrika lezeh, zrika lezeh. Therefore, the area belongs equally to both of them, and it's a chatzah meshutefes, which is asura. The same thing will apply lezeh b'shilshul v'lezeh b'shilshul. If you have two chatzeros, and the third area is below the ground by 10 tefachim, and now the only way you could use it is by being meshalshel, by going down into this subterranean area, then hainu charitz bein shtei chatzeros, which we said, if you have a ditch between two chatzeros that it's 10 tefachim deep, then the tashmish is shovel shtehen and it's asurim bo. Fine. Now, if it's lezeh, the pesach lezeh bezrika, then obviously it is of, it belongs to, so to speak, the one that has a pesach, he has easy use of it, and not to the one who needs zrika because it's high up. And the Gemara quoted Rabba Barav Hunam Rav, who says that if you have a kosel between two chatzeros, and one side of the kosel is 10 tefachim higher than the other side, so you have two chatzeros. For one, in order to get to the top of the kosel, you'd have to climb up 10 tefachim. For the other, it's mamish on ground level. Then we give the chatzer to that which is shovel aretz, which is tashmisho benachas. And then we said that if there's a pesach for one chatzer, but it's a shulshul situation for the other, because it is a chatzer that's higher on one side and lower on the other side, then we had the principle of Rav Shizbi, and he said that it's a charitz mein shei chatzeros. If it's deeper than asara for one, and for the other it's shaveh, then we consider it the property, so to speak, the private property, the one that's shaveh, because that's tashmisho benachas. Then we had a comparison between lezeh b'shilshul v'lezeh b'zrika. In other words, you have a chotzer that's on top of a tail by asara tefachim. From the top of the tail to this chotzer, there's a distance of 10 tefachim, so that the tail now serves the chotzer b'shilshul. The second chotzer, the other chotzer, is lower by 10 tefachim, and therefore, in order to use and benefit from this tail, he would have to do bezrika. He's going to have to throw it up on top. And the Gemara says in the name of Rav, Shneim Asurim, in the name of Shmuel, Shilshul is superior to zrika. In other words, to use something by going down and throw, so to speak, figuratively throwing something down into it, that's called nachas, relative to having to throw it on top. And the bottom line is, as we've said over and over again, kol davar shetashmisho lezeh benachas v'lezeh koshen, osa noso lezeh shetashmisho benachas. And that led us yesterday to the sugya of Anshei Chotzer and Anshei Mirpeses. So you have a situation of people who live downstairs, and you have people who live upstairs, and those people living upstairs share a common Mirpeses. If lo ervu beinehem, so I hope you don't mind, we're doing a little bit of Chazor, at least for me this is very important, is kol shegavo asar tefachim mirpeses, if from the chatzer you'd have to climb up to the mirpeset 10 tefachim, is then in such a case it belongs to the anshei mirpeses, because from the chatzer you'd have to climb up 10 tefachim. But pachas mikan, and the Gemara is going to explain what the logic is, if there's a distance of less than 10 tefachim from the chotzer to the mirpeses, then la chotzer. Now, what exactly is a mirpeses in our Mishnah? So the Gemara thinks on the top of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph that we're talking about a case of Bnei Aliyah, which means that they live on the top floor, and the Mirpeses is below them. So what they do is, they use the Mirpeses in order to climb up to their apartment, which is called Ba'aliyah. So I don't know if you have a picture of it. I have a little bit of a picture of it here. You have a chutz on the bottom. You've got a merpeset above that. And then you have various apartments on top of the merpeset that are higher than the merpeset by 10 tefachim or more. And now, if there's a tell in the chatzer, and that tell is 10 tefachim high, then it is lower than the windows of the aliyah, because we said that the aliyah is above the merpeses. So the Bnei Aliyah, if they want to use this tell, they're going to have to do it through Shilshul. The Gemara doesn't understand at this point that the Bnei Aliyah live on the same exact level as the Merpeset. They think the Bnei Aliyah live on top of the Merpeset, at some quite distance or height away from the Merpeset. So that from the perspective of Bnei Aliyah to use and benefit from the Merpeset, they need Shilshul. They have to go down. On the other hand, from the perspective of Bnei Achotzer, if they want to use the top of the Merpeset, then they need the opposite of Shilshul. They need Zrika. And the Gemara is quoting this Brisa as a support for Rav. So just 1 second, for Shmuel. Right, Shmuel was the one who said that if you have a tug of war between Shilshul and Zrika, then we afford it to the Shilshul. Meaning that Shilshul is more noach than Zrika. So the Gemara says, Alma, from this brisa, we can prove that kol lazeh b'shilshul, lazeh b'zrika, nosa nosa lazeh b'shilshul. Why is the tail given over to the Bnei Aliyah? What about the Bnei Achotzer? I mean, in both cases, you're going to have to stretch your arm out 10 tefachim. Who has the, you know, the bailus right, so to speak, when the chatzer has to stretch out his arm going up Zrika to the Merpeset, and the Bnei Aliyah have to stretch their arm out down to reach the Merpeset? Because again, the Gemara understood at this point that the Aliyah, the apartment and all its windows and doors, is above the Merpeses, not on ground level. So the Gemara now has to defend Rav. Kidomar Rav Huna. Rav Huna is going to say that when it says in the Sefer of our Mishnah that this Rishus belongs to the Merpeset, Hainali Osam Adorim Bimerpeset. We're not talking about a case. The Mishnah is not addressing a case where you have an Aliyah that is above the Merpeset, but rather Li Osan Hadorim Bimerpeset. Which means that when you leave the aliyah, wherever your windows or doors are, you go immediately into the merpeses. Is hachinami. Now we go back to the ratio. We can explain the ratio in the case of tel. That the tel is shayach not to the bnei aliyos that are above the merpeset, but rather liosan adorm b'merpeset. The merpeset for them is ground level. So their doors open up into a merpeset. Mamish merpeset. Now, the tail that stands in the chatzer and is 10 tefachim or more high is shoveh, is equal to the gova of the merpeses. Therefore, the Mishnah says that it belongs to the Merpeses, not to the Chatzer. It means that in our Mishnah, the reason why we give it to the Merpeses is not because of Shilshul. The Merpeses is a Pesach for the Bnei HaAliyah, because the Bnei HaAliyah are living on the same level as the Merpeses. And that means Tashmisho Benachas. It's mamish like a Pesach. Whereas from the Bnei HaChatzah, you're going to have to be Zoreg. But there's no proof from this Mishnah to support Shmuel that in a tug of war between Zrika and Shilshul, Shilshul wins out. That would have made sense as a conclusion if the Bnei HaAliyah were living higher than the Merpeses, but that's not the case. So the Gemara says, if we're talking about the Bnei HaAliyah living on the on the same floor as the Merpeses, is Amos Seifa. Pachas Mikan, if the tail is less than 10 tefachim high, areu lechatzer, then it belongs to the chatzer, not to the merpeses. Amai, why are we saying that it's shaykh only to the merpeses? Okay, so again, let's just summarize. If we're talking about the Bnei HaAliyah that are above the Merpeses, then we have a proof from our Mishnah that Shilshul trumps Zrika. But if on the other hand we're talking about a case where the Bnei HaAliyah are living on the same level as the Merpeses, so in such a case, the reason why we grant the tail to the merpeses to the Bnei HaAliyah is because it's mamish a Pesach for them. But then we get to the Sefer, and in the Sefer the Mishnah, in the case of tail, we said that if it's less than 10 tefachim high, it's lechatzer, and the tail is shayach to the chatzer, not to the merpeset. The Kashamai, why does this belong to the Chatzer and not to the Merpeset? The difference in the Gova of Asar Tfachim between the Merpeses and the Tail, if you're talking about Pisrei HaLios Yotzen LeMerpeses Mamish, is the Bnei Merpeses use the tail Benachas. So if so, is Lazeve Pesach Lazeve Pesachu. In other words, in the case of tail, if it's less than 10 tefachim, it should be accessible equally to both the Bnei Aliyah and the Bnei Achotzer. Bnei HaAliyah here in this context means Bnei HaMerpeses. So if we're assuming, just one second, if we're assuming that you're talking about people who are living on the Merpeset, meaning they go right out to the Merpeset. So why does the Sefer say that if the Chatzer is less than 10 Tefachim high, then it goes to the Chatzer? Why can't it go to the Merpeset? After all, Lazeva Pesach for Lazeva Pesach. It's very nice that the Bnei HaChotzer could stretch or throw something up 9 tefachim, but on the other hand, the Bnei Merpesed only have to go down 1 tefach. So the Gemara answers, my lechotzer, af lechotzer, ushneim asurim. So the tail belongs not only to the merpeses, but it also belongs to the chotzer. So if it's above 10 tefachim, then it belongs exclusively to the chotzer, only to the chotzer. But if it's less than 10 tefachim, then it's really accessible to both of them. And therefore, without an Erev, it's Shnei Masurim. Okay. Now again, let's just summarize that according to Rav, in the case of Lazeb Bezriko, Lazeb Beshulshul, Shnei Masurim. Whereas according to Shmuel, it's Lezeshab Shilshul, meaning Shilshul is a lot more Noach Tashmisho than Zriko. So let's begin now where we left off yesterday, Tnan, which is about 15 lines down from the top of Pei Dalet. We learned in that Mishnah Chulias HaBar, so that you have, after you dig the bar, you have the dirt that surrounds the top of the bar. Ve'asela, or you have a large boulder that stands or is situated in a chotzer, she'en gvoim asara, is therefore it's tashmishon noach lebnei merpeses, is la merpeses. Now, pachos me'asara lechotzer. If these items are less than 10 tefachim high, then they belong to the chotzer. Now, the word merpeses here refers to the bnei aliyah, those who are living on the higher floor. And the assumption is now that it's higher than the merpeset by a lot. So again, we see in this Mishnah that chulias habar vasela, when they're higher than 10 tefachim, they belong to the merpeses. Now, in that case, we really have a head-on collision between Zrika for the Bnei HaChotzer and Shilshul for the Anshei HaMerpeses. Now, we see here clearly that in the case of Shilshul is there, Zrika is there, we give it to the Shilshul. Because it says here that Pachos Mikan Lachotze. And just 1 second. Just 1 second. How is this a proof for Shmuel that we give it to the Shilshul? Which case are we dealing with? The case of Gavon Masara? No. Oh, yeah. Gvoim Me'asara. And if the Bnei Aliyah are higher than the Merpeset, so that's called Shilshul. Omar Avhuna, when it says La Merpeses, it means le'osem adarim b'merpeses. So it's not a case of the Bnei Aliyah that have to go down to the merpeses, but rather we're talking about those who live on the level of the merpeses. In other words, the psachim of the of these Bnei Aliyah go out right directly into the merpeses. Now, chulias habar vasela, if they stand in a chotzer and they're 10 tefachim higher or more, then they reach the gova, they reach the height of the merpeses. Or either they're a little bit below or above, but within that parameter of asara. So the Mishnah says, "Hein shayochin limer pesach v'lo lechatzer," because here is a case of a pesach of tashmisho noach. Because now we're talking about osam adorim v'mer pesach. They don't have any challenge, any difficulty whatsoever. The bnei chatzer, it becomes tashmisho b'koshin. So now the Gemara asks the following, raises the following objection to this last teretz. Tenach, Sela. I can accept your explanation in the case of Sela, which is 10 tfachim in height. Then it's certainly more comfortable for the Bnei Amar Pesas to use it. In fact, they can use even the surface of the stone itself. But Bar, Ma'ikal and Meimar. What are you going to say about the case of bar? Bar certainly requires you to take a pail and draw the water from the bottom, the ground of whatever it is. Call it a bar, call it a cistern. Now, a bar is usually at least 10 tefachim deep. So even as far as those who are living in the Mirpeses, you need shilshul of less than asara tefachim. So muchach, we see from bar that since for the Bnei HaChotzer it's tashmisho bizrika, therefore we award or designate the bar for the Bnei HaMerpeses. Right? So we're going to again give it to the Shilshul and not to the Zrika. Again, in the case of bar, you certainly have a clear-cut proof to Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bered Rabbi Yehuda, Hacha b'bar Maleo Mayim Askinan. So we're talking about a bar that's full with water. A bar malea mayim. Later on, we'll have a bar malea peiros. So, what is Rabbi Yitzchak adding here? What does he gain by interpreting the Mishnah as a case of bar malea mayim? See, he says here, "Ein hefresh shel asorat fachim bein amirpeses lepnei hamayim." So there's no raya for Shmuel that Shilshul trumps Zrika, but the reason why in the case of Gvoh Asar we're awarding it to the bar is because the bar is Malea Mayim, so Tashmish Abar Noach Libnei Amir Peses. So from the Merpeses to the Pnei Amayim is less than 10 tefachim, and therefore it's Tashmish Noach Libnei Amir Peses. So this is not the way Shmuel would interpret it, that you get the bar because for you it's Shilshul, but rather you get the bar before because it's a Pesach, it's Noach Tashmishto. So the Gemara asks for HaChasra. Hamayim nechsarim b'shabas alidei shedolim osa me'abar. Mekasha gova pnei hamayim yorad. Nimtza shetashmish habar yesh b'shulshul lebramer pesas. So if I understand correctly, as you draw water from this bar, the water level of the bar continuously goes down, and therefore it's no longer noach, it's no longer Pesach that makes it convenient for those who b'nei mer pesach to get access to the water. Now they really need a full-fledged shilshul. And therefore they heim osrim bo. According to Rav, they generate an Issa. So again, on the one hand, Rabbi Yitzchak offered an answer which is very attractive, because if the bar is Malea Mayim, then there's no 10 tefachim distance between the Merpeses and the Pnei Amayim. No, it's all they have to do is get to the Pnei Amayim, and then they could draw the water. But now the Gemara is objecting and saying, V'alkal chasra, which means that the water level of the cistern, of this bar, goes down and down, because they're drawing water from the bar. So now when the surface level of the water goes down, the Tashmish HaBar is going to have to be B'shulshul. So it's great, Rabbi Yitzchak, in the case where the bar is full, but as time goes on and he draws water from the bar, it becomes more and more inaccessible, more and more of a distance to get the water out of the bar. So Gemara says, Kevin Dechimalya Sharia Ki Chosra Nami Sharia. Since when the bar is full, it's mutter. So to even later when it's less than full, it's also mutter. He says here, Kevan Shabeknisas Hashavas Kishabar Mole Hashimush Mutal Ibnamer Pesis. Ah, Kevan Shahutra Hutra. Very nice. In other words, we look at the onset of Shabbos. The bar was full at the onset of Shabbos, and at that point it was Hutra because it was accessible to the B'nei Amir Peses. Is even later when the water level goes down, and during the course of Shabbos he's going to have to put more effort into taking Mayim from the bar. Nevertheless, that's what happens in the middle of Shabbos. And we have a principle called Shabbos Kevan Shehutra Hutra. I think we had this in the case where somebody came along and removed the mechitza, if I remember correctly. So the Gemara is saying that your problem is that how can we allow the B'nai Merpeses to have access to the water in the bar when the water level goes down? It's going to be so uncomfortable for them to try to draw up the water. But the answer is, it all depends upon Knisat HaShabbat, on that moment of the onset of Shabbos. At that moment, the bar was full. The B'nai Amir Pesach had easy access to the water in the bar. And therefore, the bar belongs to them. Now it's Chasra. It doesn't matter, because whatever halachic rules were set on Erev Shabbos, they are considered set in stone. So now the Gemara says the opposite is true. The opposite is for Adarabba. Keva dechi chasra asira is kimalya nami asira. why does the Gemara reject the principle of Shabbos Kimin Shehutra Hutra? So he says the following: Lefi Shamayim Udavar Anital B'Shabbos Lefichach Enom Nechshavim Milui. The Eino Mematim Igova Asorat Fochim Shebein Habor Lamer Peset. Now, I think what's happening here is that the Gemara is applying the principle of mute, of being memayit, that we've discussed at great length in the past. So what are we talking about now? At the onset of Shabbos, the water was accessible within Asarat Tefachim. And now the water level goes down. And it's more than 10 tefachim. We're going to apply the principle of Kevin Shehutra Hutra. So that's what we said in the Teretz. Now the Gemara is rejecting that by saying, Adarabi Kevin Dechi Chosra Asira Kimal Yunami Asira. The distance now between the Mirpeses and the surface level of the water is more than 10 tefachim. Oh, I see. So what is the agent or the object that reduces the distance of Asar Tfach? It's the Mayim itself. Because when the bar is full with water, then the Bnei Amrpesas have very easy access, and you know, they use the water, they draw the water. So that the water is now a mamayit, so to speak. Right, you have something called a Pesach, but if it's 10 tefachim, then it's not a Pesach. So because the water fills up this bar, it serves as a Pesach. Why? Because it's mamayit, the distance of 10 tefachim between the Merpeses and the bar. So Rav Huna, I don't know, actually the Gemara doesn't tell you who it is either, but the Gemara says that the logic is that since the Mayim is itself responsible for mute, because again, if not for the Mayim, the distance between the Merpeset and the bar is more than 10 tefachim. So the mayim is serving as a mamayit by filling up the bar with mayim. So the Gemara wants to say that since the mayim is a dovra anitol b'shabbos, it cannot possibly be a mamayit. The only object that, or category of object that could be a mamayit, is something that's permanent. Either it's permanent because there's an isur tiltul, or it's permanent because it's very heavy and people wouldn't remove it. Those are the qualities that are necessary to have a chal shem mamayit.
And the Gemara thinks that Mayim could not be a Mamayit because you're constantly drawing the water. And it's not Muksa, it's a Dovra Nital B'Shabbos. So the Gemara answers, Ela Omer Abaye Hocha B'Bar Molea Peros Askino. That the bar is filled with fruits. And the top level, the surface level on top of the higher fruits is less than 10 tfachim to the merpeses. And therefore, the merpeses has easy use of the bar, meaning of the fruits that are in the bar. Yeah, but that's only as long as the, you know, as long as you're only taking a few fruits from on top. So the Gemara asks, Vaha Chasrei, but when he takes one fruit after another, then at some point, it will be Chaser. So we see that the existence of the fruit is not permanent. It's like the water that the Gemara said, you are constantly drawing from the water. So to say the same thing about fruit. So the Gemara answers Bitivla, that the peros have the status of Tevel. No, it's Trumas and Maisus was not removed. And therefore they have a din of Mukta. So now the reason why the peros are considered Dovrsheno Nital, and the peros therefore could serve the function as a Mamayit, is because these peros happen to be mukta. Again, that's a pel of a chiddush to say that tevel is mukta. But anyway, right now the Gemara is convinced that tevel is mukta. So if that be the case, what are you worried about? Like in the case of water, you worry about drawing the water. Well, in the case of fruits, you don't have to worry about drawing the fruits because it's also a tiltal. On Shabbos, no one's allowed to touch those fruits. So again, therefore, we can justify that the Bnei HaMerpeses have a heter of using this bar. Because the bar is Malaya Peros, and the distance between the Merpeses and the top Peros is less than 10 tfachim, and it's Tevel, so therefore, you know, it's very interesting. Because in the case of a mite, we say something is a mite because it has shimush, you can benefit from it. I mean, here, if it's tevel, it's muks on Shabbos. Deka nami the ketoni dumya de sela. That the Mishnah combines chuli sabor with sela in one breath. There should be an analogy, an equation between them. And in the case of bar, we're going to talk about a similar case to that of sela. Sela is called kavua, right? It never gets smaller and smaller. It's therefore, in regard to the bar, we're talking about a situation which it's not nechsar. Similar to sela. Now, how can you get a bar that's full of fruits that's not nechsar? I mean, obviously, he's going to want to eat the fruits one after the other. And the answer is that we're talking about Tevel. And Tevel is Muktza. So the Dumya de Sela, just like Sela is Kavua, so too the Bar is Kavua, meaning the Bar that's Mali Peros, and in this case the Peros are Tevel, is also Kavua. And since the peros are tevel, they're therefore mukta, they have the same permanence or kvius like a sel, shmamino. Now the Gemara asks, v'lomali l'misni bar, v'lomali l'misni sela. It should have been enough just to tell me sela. Why do you have to add bar? Meaning, both in the cases of sela and bar, your use is to the top surface level whether it's the sela or the bar that's full of peros. Tzricha, the yashmin in sela, if you only had the case of the sela, I would have said dafka sela's mutter for the b'nei merpesim mishum, the leko lemigzar. There's no room for gzera. Aval bibar. If the bar is filled partially with peros of tevel, is ligzar simnin to malia peros misukanim. In other words, yeah, it's very nice that in the case where the bar is filled with tevel, that makes it kavua b'mkomo, and that's enough to be mamait, such that we could be matered for the b'nei hamer peset. But why aren't we worried that they'll come to assume the same conclusion in a case where the peros were already misukon, we've already removed trumas and maestros, and that already makes it into the dovra nitol b'shabes, which cannot be mamait, it's not something kavua. So there'll be no heter for the b'nei merpeses to use the top of the bar. Tzricha, therefore we need the Mishnah to tell me the case of a bar, and the chiddush of the bar is that since it's filled with tevel, that makes it kavua. We're not afraid that it'll confuse this with the case of peiros misukanim.
You take things from the merpesa and put it down, but you shouldn't be able to take anything up from.
I didn't get that impression, Steve. Maybe I missed something. I thought it works in both directions. Because once we say it's noach, then it's like one reshus. It's like mine. You know, I have rights to it. I'm one of the b'nei merpeses. And the top, I can skim off the top of the sela or of this bar, chulis habar. And I think it would be either putting on or taking off. That's the impression I get. If I'm mistaken, okay, then I ask for mechila.
No. So, at the end, could they take the water out? If it's going to go below the tent, fuck him or no?
The final maskana seems to be that's okay.
Oh, it is okay.
Why? Because we're holding, like that man diomar, that Shabbos came into Hutra, okay. Hutra.
Oh, okay.
The only thing is, you might ask me, but the Gemara says maybe we should go in the other direction, and the Gemara says that it's a bar malaya peros. Oh, so let me address your question, I think, in a more intelligent way. We have Rabbi Yitzchak Bered Rabbi Yehuda, and then we have Abaye. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak Bered Rabbi Yehuda is interpreting that it's a bar malaya mayim. And we can only justify his interpretation of the Mishnah if we assume that Shabbos came in Shehutra, Hutra. If we don't assume that, and now Abai is going to reject that, the reason why Abai is going to reject that is because, what are you doing? You're telling me that the B'nai Merpeset are allowed to skim off the water, so that means that the water is a Dovra Nitol B'Shabbos, and it cannot be Mamait. The whole point here, according to this Gemara, of the Mayim and allowing the access to the Mayim and the possession, so to speak, of the Mayim is to the B'nai Hamir Peset, is because the Mayim reduces the 10 Tfachim distance between the B'nai Hamir Peset and the bar. So the Gemara now is taking the opposite approach and saying, well, wait a minute. As soon as you take out the Mayim, and you're allowed to take out the Mayim, that classifies the Mayim as a Dovra Nitol B'Shabbos. If it's a Dovra Nitol B'Shabbos, then it cannot be Mamayit. And therefore, on the contrary, the Gemara says, is Nami Asira. So again, the answer to your question would seem to lie somewhere in between Rabbi Yitzchak and Abaye. And this forces Abaye to reinterpret our Mishnah that we're not talking about a bar malaya mayim, but a bar malaya peros. And not only that, it can't be just a bar malaya peros, because that would be exactly the same as mayim. We're back to the same problem. It's got to be the Tivla. And the Gemara seems to accept Abaye because of the analogy to Sela. And the Gemara gives an explanation why we need Bar, because in the case of Bar Malea Peros, since the precondition is that they have to be Teva, we should always be afraid that it'll come to be Matir, even in a case where it's Musukanim, Kamash Malon. So again, Lamaskana, the Gemara seems to reject Mayim completely, Bar Malea Mayim. And even in the case of Bar Malea Peros, the Gemara is going to only allow possession and taking in and out to the Bnei Merpeses only if it's Peros of Tevel. And the finish is that we don't institute Gzera from Tevel to Misukon. That's the way I understood the Maskon of this Gemara. Okay then?